or parole. Here again is another in the exciting series, Up for Parole. Authentic cases as actually presented before the parole boards in your state prison. Reenacted here for the first time. Tonight, the case of Fern Russell. Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to sit in judgment on another human being to decide whether she shall become your neighbor, your employee, or perhaps your friend, or remain where you, society, have put her, behind prison bars. Therefore, listen carefully and consider seriously the story you are about to hear, told from the official records of Fern Russell, prison case number SP-048, now pleading before the parole board and before you for her freedom.
Please tell the board your name.
Fern Russell.
You're 23, aren't you, Fern?
And I look 28. I know it. You don't have to say it. I've been through enough.
My impression was you looked 23. What sentence were you convicted?
Forgery. Attempted robbery. I got 1 to 10 years.
What kind of work did you do, Fern, before you came to this institution?
I was in the shipping department of a big meat plant, stenciling boxes, 35 cents an hour. You want that, too, the wages?
Yes, if you want to.
And, then I was on the weighing of cans for the processed meat. That paid 50 cents an hour. And then the sliced meat department, the big cutters. And, I waitressed a while.
Supported your family?
If you call 25 a week supporting when you got two sisters and a brother, and an old man like mine.
What was the trouble, Fern? What started you on the road to crime?
Men.
Just what do you mean?
I mean men. Men.
Well, that covers a lot of ground.
I met a lot of them. And they all had one thing in common. They were louses.
Suppose we begin at the beginning.
Well, in my house, there was me and Marie and Dickie and Ramona and Ma. I was the oldest kid. Ma never complained about anything. She was an ignorant woman. She didn't know any better. Otherwise, why would she have married Pa? Since I can remember, Pa spent most of his life in and out of the state penitentiaries. He went up 3 times for larceny or something. The one thing about my father, if you saw him on the streets, you'd think he was kind of an executive of a big company or something, you know? And walking down on his arm, you know, it didn't even matter that it wasn't true. You felt like a lady, you know, like somebody. Maybe he was getting puffy in the middle, and if you look close, you see that his teeth were false, but he was a terrific dancer, you know. Anybody he ever asked for a dance, they always danced with him. And the last time he got out, I don't know, I was only a kid, I guess 16. He took Ma and me over to the Royal Garden. It was a pretty good place to eat and dance. I don't even know where he got the money.
May I have the pleasure of this dance, madam?
Oh, boy. You're an old dog.
Hey, the music's waiting. The man's fickle.
Okay, pilot, dance. Hey, how'd you keep up with the steps? Well, they got dancing classes inside.
No. We're not going to turn our faces backward, are we?
I wish I could figure you out.
Just relax. Let yourself go and... Ah, come on. Let's enjoy ourselves. Hey,
What?
You know, Fern, I was thinking...
What?
Your mother. She's been having a tough life. I'd like to give her a present.
So would I. With what?
Fernie, how do you feel about the people who come to a place like this?
Hmm? What do you mean?
I mean every night. People with money. People with them shiny cars outside and so forth.
You know how I feel about not having things. About Ma not having things. Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Now don't stop dancing right here in the middle of the floor.
Come on.
All right, I'll tell you. Now, that girl over there in the cloakroom, she's kind of interested in that fellow with the drums.
Yeah.
Me, she's over there with him now.
So?
I happen to notice there's a couple of capes hanging in the cloakroom there. Fur pieces.
You're going to steal it?
Ah, Fernie, would they miss it? Shiny cars, good homes. What's one little fur piece? $200, $250. That's like a nickel to you and me.
But
that's
Pike...
nothing to them. If he was just to walk over there, you could reach in just like that.
But I...
I'd be walking right behind you. I'd take it and we could walk out together.
There's a lot of people around, Pa, and I...
A fur cape for your mother, Fern.
So I went and I did it. And we got just about as far as the bottom steps outside the front door of the Royal Garden.
That's your coat, miss.
Do me the courtesy of removing your hands from my daughter's wrap.
I'll wrap you, Russell. I had my eyes on you all night.
Now, just a second.
Russell, you ain't even got the prison stink off you yet. Come on, the both of you.
James Russell, I have nothing whatever to say to you or to men of your ilk. Unregenerate criminals who continue in the path of their insane attempts are beyond the sympathy of this court. Rape psychologists, psychiatrists, and other medical observers are required. My duty is quite clear. You're sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Well, what about my Fern?
Let the prisoner be removed. His deep and touching concern for his daughter and co-defendant... There's only one additional evidence of the criminal bent and twist in his mind. Let it be removed, please.
All right, you don't have to.
Fern Russell?
That's right.
I know the facts of your case very well, both from the court testimony and from the social histories placed at my disposal. You pleaded guilty to this crime, and although you were undoubtedly under your father's influence... So far as this court knows, you made no attempt not to participate in this crime. Consequently, it is necessary to sentence you for from 1 to 3 years.
It's just words.
But in recognition of your problems and your years, that sentence is herewith stayed and you're placed on strict probation.
You mean
That's right. Sentenced to 3 years and placed on probation, being advised that that probation will be strict.
Yes, sir.
You're instructed by this court and by the nature of your probation to seek employment and to work diligently at any position you may obtain and any that the parole officer shall in their discretion obtain for you.
Yes.
You live at home and you'll report to the probation officer weekly. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. And thank you. I'm going to be okay. The first month wasn't bad. Even the second, that's when I got the job in the meat factory, see. And they had me weighing cans. See, a can would come in and be filled with meat and you had to weigh it. And each can had to weigh a certain amount before it could be labeled and so forth, see. And who should make a play for me? White shirt and sleeves rolled up real neat, you know. Freddie Nolan, the section supervisor.
Hi.
Hi.
Knocking off soon?
Should be any minute. Boy, they're right on the clock, huh? They always are.
That's what I figured. So, what do you say?
What do you mean, what do I say? About what?
Ah, don't make a production. Lunch, kiddo. Lunch on me.
He was pretty young for a section supervisor. And pretty good looking. You know, first I thought he was one of them stuck-up kids on account of him making a little money. But I had an eye on him.
You like me, don't you?
Well, in a way.
Why? Tell me why.
Listen to me.
No, why? Come on, why?
Well, you're not bad-looking.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I hear you can dance.
Oh, been talking about me.
Not so much as you think.
Listen, what are you making now?
50 cents an hour.
Well, I'm putting in a word for you with the floor supervisor. Bet you make 60 cents before the week is out.
And that's all there was to it. We started going out. And then he told me he was going west on a job with a big canning company and would I go. He even asked me to marry him. Boy, I jumped at it. And it was great. It was a great honeymoon. No clock to punch. hanging around in pajamas, going back to bed after breakfast. And then Freddy, that stupid... Ah, no, he was all right. He gets himself thrown in the can.
Freddy?
Yeah, some pal of his gets mixed up in a bigamy case, and Freddy goes and testifies for his pal and winds up with 6 months for lying on the stand.
Perjury.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So there I was. I was 400 miles from home with him in jail. And a baby coming.
You said, Fern, when you first started talking, your trouble was men, that men were lice. What about Freddy?
Oh, I wasn't talking about Freddy. He was okay.
Then Freddy wasn't one of the causes of your crime.
No.
Marriage, the baby, that was your own doing.
Yes, sir.
All right, now suppose you go on.
Well, when I come back home, there was more trouble waiting for me.
Your Honor, as field officer for this area for the Parole and Probation Office, it's my duty to report this parolee. This defendant has willfully violated parole regulations 1 through 7.
Fern Russell Nolan, before the probation officer continues, is there anything you want this court to know?
I got nothing to say. What's so terrible about getting married to a fellow you love?
Please proceed.
May it please the court. The probationer, Fern Russell Nolan, is charged with violation of probation in that she has failed to maintain contact with the probation office, has moved without advising the probation office, has married without permission, and has been unemployed. And I understand, Your Honor, that she is pregnant.
Thank you, officer. Fern, this court is not a body who sits with a series of rules and regulations before it. This court is mindful of human frailties and concerned with that. This court is distressed because it cannot seriously regard you as really prepared for marriage. That was why the restriction of permission was placed within your probation.
I love Freddy. I love him.
The desire of all human beings for what you call love is fine, desirable, if based upon reality. But such youthful romance alone cannot be the basis for real marriage. Marriage must be based upon mutual respect. Upon a desire to grow and upon an ability to give and to take. Desire to be useful to oneself and one's community. Just what is it you find funny in these remarks?
Words. The words, that's what's so funny.
I was quite serious.
That's what my father used to tell me. Just like that marriage, and then he'd go on for 45 minutes.
I don't quite understand.
Just wanting someone, Fern, that's not enough. You gotta build a marriage, like a building is built with a foundation and all that block.
What's the laughter for, then?
I'm laughing because my father's in jail and you're a judge.
Stay of sentence against the defendant, Fern Russell Nolan, is vacated and her commitment herewith issued. Fern Russell Nolan, you're sentenced to a period of 18 months in the women's prison.
Send me to jail all you want. But when I get out, I'll still do just what I want to. And no one will stop me, you'll see.
We will return to our files in just a moment. World news takes on an excitingly different slant when reported by Lowell Thomas because he's been there. Yes, this famous traveler, explorer, and author is heard giving his views of today's news 5 evenings a week over many of these same CBS stations. Just recently, Lowell Thomas thrilled America with his colorful, authentic accounts of his trip to the forbidden country of Tibet. This year, Lowell Thomas celebrates his 20th year on the air. 20 years of reporting the news to America as he sees it. Don't miss Lowell Thomas 5 evenings a week over many of these same CBS stations. Now back to the true story of Fern Russell, prison case number SP-048, the woman who is up for parole.
So, Fern, because you violated the terms of your probation, you had to face that sentence of 1 to 3 years.
That's right.
And again, it was a man, to follow the thread that runs through your story, a man A man who put you there, in your opinion?
Sure it was a man. That judge and all those fancy words and all that talk. Why couldn't he have just said 3 years and not made those big speeches?
Well, we won't go into that right now.
Well,
but go on with your story now. Tell the board what happened after that.
My baby was born. And right after that, my mother had the marriage annulled.
You didn't object to the annulment?
No. As a matter of fact, I never heard from Freddie again. And the baby was sent to my ma. So now she had her own 3 kids. And my kid to take care of. How she did it, I don't know. And then I did my time and I got out after 18 months.
On parole?
No, sir, I just did 18 months flat.
And then you started it all over again.
What did you want me to do? Stay away from everybody? My goodness, I got out of prison. I come out of a life where maybe, except for a couple of weeks with Freddie, nothing was ever any good.
Oh, please, please, please try to control yourself.
But
then, after Freddie, Henry Langer walked into your life.
Yeah, Hank. Call me Hank. Hank Langer.
Baby, maybe I ain't the best-looking guy you ever met, but I got what you want. Big car and everything. Yeah, look at this upholstery. This stuff set me back $65.
Yeah?
Just rub your hand over. Go ahead.
Hey, it's nice.
You're not saying what you're thinking. Hey, look, baby, if you say Lake Placid, that's what it is. You say Florida, Florida. You say 2 weeks in the swankiest hotel in Saratoga Springs.
I said yes. And I kept my eyes shut tight as long as I could for 3.5 weeks. And riding in that car to Saratoga Springs and betting on the horses. And, you know, even getting pushed in a chair on the boardwalk. And then we stopped off one night in the motel. And when I woke up in the morning, there was a note on the pillow.
I left some money for you in the dresser. It'll take you back home. Anybody wants to know what happened? I deserted you.
If 100 guys walked down the street and 10 of them were louses, them 10 would stop and say hello to me. If I opened the telephone book and stuck a pin in the page and called up the guy on the telephone, he'd be a louse. I was like a magnet for him. I found him all.
And that was when you met Nancy Remo?
Well, no. You see, I knew Nancy a long time, but that was when we started to go around together, yeah.
Nancy worked in the factory with you, didn't she, for a while?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years back, we worked at the canning machines together. I think maybe she had a yen for Freddie, too. But Nancy got married. She did better than Freddie. She got the floor supervisor. Fella named of Harry Tanner. $125 a week. And when I saw her, she was like tearing her hair out.
Boy, was I burned. How am I burned? I never been burned like this in my life.
What'd he do?
Huh? How'd you know I was talking about him?
I just know, that's all.
I like you, kid. Just on account of I stayed out one night.
Yeah?
Remember that tall guy used to work on the other side of the canning machine? Big blonde like, Bert Lancaster?
Yeah, yeah.
So because we went out on a party one night, I had a little too much, you know, and I rolled in about 6-7. He gets up on his high horse and says, this is the end, tarot, tarot, he's going to get rid of me.
A louse.
Boy, would I like to get out of this burg. Would I like to get dolled up and let myself go.
Yeah, you and me both.
Hey. What a dope.
What?
Did you ever see one of these?
I'm sure that's the charge card at Zane's department store.
Right. So tomorrow he's going to publish in the paper. You know, my wife having left my bed and board and so on. And he's not responsible for my debt. Only today's today and tomorrow's tomorrow. So let's you and me go to Zane's and make that louse pay.
You mean buy things on charge?
Why not? You and me. All you gotta do is sign Mrs. Nancy Remo Tanner. They give it to you.
Anything?
Everything.
I'll take a pair of blue ones and a pair of the black ones. Are those net? I want the net ones, too. How much are they?
$1.75 a pair.
Well, I'll take them all. That cardigan, miss, is that wool?
100% wool.
You got it in lavender?
No, ma'am, just these colors.
Oh, I don't like those.
This yellow one is lovely, miss.
That's pretty. How much is it?
$8.98.
Okay, wrap it up. went wild, crazy. Between us, we spent $138. And then we met like we planned on the ground floor with our arms filled up till a detective came over.
Mrs. Tenner?
Yeah?
Mrs. Nancy Remo Tenner?
Yeah.
This your signature?
Well, I just signed it. Of course it is.
And I guess this one isn't. This one, and this one. I think you both better come with me, ladies.
And so, for the crime of impersonation, forgery, and attempted theft...
I got up to 10 years on account of being a second offender.
And a probation violator.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you feel about it, Fern, but it wasn't very smart, was it? It wasn't even very much that you tried to steal.
$138 is a lot of money.
I guess it is. It's enough to make it larcenous. So now you get out in 1954, unless this board sees fit to act to terminate your sentence at, say, 3.5 years, the amount of time that you've served.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think we ought to do?
I think you ought to let me out. What do you think I'm here for, my health?
Fern, on your record, I note good time lost 61 days.
That's right.
Attempted escape on 3 occasions. What's that about?
I tried to get out, isn't that clear?
Well, yes and no. Your first escape, 6 months after you entered, you were out for 10 minutes and got caught. Second escape, for 5 minutes, and you were apprehended. Your third escape, you hid in the barn and missed bed check. Why was that?
Because I wanted to get out.
That's all? No other reason?
What other reason is there?
I know that prior to each attempted escape, you'd been called into the director's office and he'd spoken to you.
Yeah, he spoke to me, that great big father.
You resented him, didn't you, as you resented all men. And after his fatherly speech, as you put it, you decided that you would show him, and so you tried to escape.
Maybe I did.
Well, Fern, you know, this is a very difficult case. It really is. Oh, it's clear that you did all the things that you were accused of doing, and it's also clear why you did them. The breaks you got about every awful thing there is. Your husband, second husband, your father.
Judge and the director.
And these men, not the judge, nor the director of the prison. We'll talk about that later. These men were partially the cause of your actions, but only partially. The rest was you, Fern. You, a woman, a person, an individual. And it's to that individual, to that person, and to no one else, and to no other factors that this board must address itself. And so that being the full history, and a very tragic history it is, I think we're about ready to make our decision. So while we do that, will you please step outside into the next room?
Yes, sir.
We'll call you back when we've reached our decision.
While Fern Russell waits, and the parole board reviews her case, you too have a decision to make. In a moment, you can compare your decision with that of the actual parole board before which she appeared. On the Jack Smith, Dinah Shore, Margaret Whiting show every Monday through Friday evening over most of these same CBS stations, top tunes are sung by three of America's most popular vocal artists. Smiling Jack Smith, the boy with a bounce in his voice, gracious Dinah Shore, who dreams her way through a ballad with the greatest of ease, and Margaret Whiting, Maggie the Magnificent. You'll hear Jack with Margaret Whiting on Monday and Friday, Dinah Shore Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tune to CBS for the Jack Smith, Dinah Shore, Margaret Whiting Show. Now the decision of the parole board in the case of Fern Russell, prison number SP-048, the woman who is up for parole.
Fern Russell, do you know what paranoia is?
No, sir.
Paranoia is a condition of the mind in which a person feels that everything, the whole world, is conspiring against him.
That's paranoia. I suppose that's what I got.
People who have tendencies in this direction have a very serious problem. Let me explain that as far as it concerns you. A lot of men have done a lot of things to you, Fern. Horrible things, brutal things, vicious things. And so whenever a man comes into your life now, myself included, he's an enemy. He's a louse. That's right, isn't it?
I'm not saying.
Just like when the director of the prison tried to talk to you on those 3 occasions. I know him very well. He's not an ogre. He's not a monster. He's a pretty decent sort of fella. He told me that he could get nowhere with you. He told me that he saw you, and you're doing it right now. He saw you freeze up, close your ears, reject everything that he had to say. Now, Fern, let me show you here what the officers of this board, what this board itself, in fact, feels toward you. A field parole officer was assigned to your case. We asked this man, Officer Horton, to see your mother, your former employers, and other people in the community who might know you. And this is the report that we have. I want to read it to you. I quote, "Having interviewed Russell, father of the subject, several times in the state penitentiary, find him to be a man able to get away with a lot. Comparative ease and sympathetic manner, but know him to be an absolute hypocritical, smooth-talking, vicious type of criminal. Not a gun-toter, not physically dangerous, and therefore even worse. His entire life reveals not one single instance where he ever showed any gratitude for anything done in his behalf. He lied to and he stole from his own people, his own family, anyone who gave him half an opportunity." That's talking about your father, Fern. It continues, "In my opinion, if the defendant had been brought up in a different atmosphere, she would have been in all probability an extremely fine person. I don't know what to recommend, but those are the facts." That's the gist of his report.
He sounds like a pretty decent sort of fella.
Yes, he is. Actually, his report runs on for nearly 13 pages.
Oh.
He spent a lot of time on this case, and so have I. And so has this board. And I'm spending time now because when I finish speaking, I hope there'll be some understanding.
Go ahead and say it.
You must learn, Fern Russell, to distinguish between reality and fantasy. Between those who have, in fact, persecuted you, those men, and the ones who have, in fact, attempted to help you. You know, people talk about neurosis a great deal these days. It's very popular. But as far as I'm concerned, neurosis is simply an inability to understand that which is true. And I think that same thing of your problem. So while this board cannot grant parole, I also feel it cannot simply deny parole. In view of the factors outside yourself and within yourself, your case is herewith continued for 1 year. By that I mean, Fern, think over what has been said here. Act on it. And on the basis of your behavior in 1 year, this board will be pleased again to review your case. Therefore, for the present, parole denied. Next case.
The 1 year continued sentence of Fern Russell has still not been completed. And as of tonight, we have no way of knowing what will be the final decision of the parole board in her case. But we are confident that if she has fulfilled the difficult assignment given to her by the board's chairman, she will take her place again in her community. Her story was told in order to explain some of the difficult problems that come before field parole officers and before your parole boards. And we told her story on behalf of other prisoners who may someday be up for parole. You have been listening to Up for Parole with Deli Ellis as Fern Russell, written by Arnold Pearl and produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Music was under the direction of Harry Salter. The authentic material for this broadcast was supplied by the National Probation and Parole Association, the nationwide nonprofit agency working to protect the public through effective probation and parole. Listen again at the same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of prison case number B15-42, Up for Parole. Harry Marvel speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.